Today, I'd like to talk to you about the place of safety. And there's a few things that we can learn about it. I mean, there's information about it that is not provided, and I'm not going to speculate about those things, but there are things in the Bible that do speak about it. And I have three points that I want to get to later. But did you know that some Church of God groups or members do not believe in the place of safety? Is that better? They don't believe in the place of safety. And the reason they don't is they turn to this scripture, which I'd like you to turn to, over in Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, and in verse 7, it says, 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So they look at this scripture and they say, well, there's no need to go to a place of safety because God can protect you wherever you're at, which is absolutely true. He can. But what does the scripture reveal God's will in this matter? Have you ever wondered why the church is in the place of safety, for example, for 1,260 days, since God is quite capable of protecting you at your current location? Today, I want to look at three main reasons why the place of safety. I'd like to turn to Revelation, the 12th chapter, and we'll read about what the Revelation 12 tells us about this subject. And in Revelation 12 and verse 14, but the woman, which we know is the church, was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So she's in that place for 3.5 years, which is times and half a times, 1,260 days, from the presence of the serpent to protect from the influences of Satan, the devil. And what happens there? She is nourished, and that she might fly into the wilderness. So it tells us it's in the wilderness. It doesn't indicate where. It just tells us. So we get little clues, but some details are missing. Now, One reason that the church is going to the place of safety is for protection. The time of the tribulation is 3.5 years, and it corresponds to the same time of the duration of the church in a place of safety. So these two times run parallel. And it's also the time that the two witnesses are doing their witnessing. And if you'd like to go to Revelation 11, and we'll look at verse 3, Revelation 11, 3. It says, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, all these events are happening simultaneously, including the beast power. And that is found in Revelation 11 and verse 2. It says, but leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread on the holy city for 42 months. Now we know that the tribulation is going to be the worst time in human history. And in Matthew 24, in verse 21, it describes that. Matthew 24, 21 says, for then shall be great tribulation as such has not since, have not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. So you have the church in the place of safety for 3.5 years, the rule of the beast power for 42 months, exactly the same amount of time, the two witnesses for the same amount of time, all happening, and the tribulation for the same amount of time. So you have like four events all simultaneously running at the same time. Now, you think about this. If war going on is going on and there's dangers on every side and you're trying to dodge bullets, you know, to survive, it's not really a good environment for Christian growth, is it? So we need to go to a place where you don't have to worry about those things, where we're secure and you can grow spiritually. This has to happen prior to the time of the tribulation, because at the beginning of the tribulation, it's like when the curtain falls down. This is the admonition from Christ in Matthew 24, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew 24 says, in verse 20, it says, "And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath," referring to our flight to safety. Now, why is that? Well, in the Northern Hemisphere, if you had to, you know, prepare for a flight, whatever God decides the method is, I mean, if it's snowing out in inclement weather, that slows you down as opposed to living in a climate where it's sunny and you don't have to deal with those issues. And of course, on the Sabbath, we don't travel on the Sabbath. So Christ is saying, pray that that doesn't happen at that time, that time frame, so you don't have to deal with these issues and matter of consciousness. And if there's a, you know, like if there's a real push and an urgency and you have to wait till after sunset, you know, it just adds more pressure to you. Now, God protected others in the past, and I'd like to talk about Noah, for example, right? God told Noah that he was going to destroy all of mankind because of their sins, their perversion, and Noah built an ark. It took him a long time to build, but the point is, the day God sent the animals two by two, they went into the ark. Noah and his family went in the ark, and it says the Lord closed the door. The moment that door was closed, that's when trouble started. The rain started on that very day because he was in a place of safety. He was safe. Now the calamity came. And think about Lot. I mean, Lot was told, and he was so reluctant to leave, almost had to drag him out by the hand. Come out of Sodom because the city is going to be destroyed. Now, he could have said, well, I'm staying behind because, you know, God can protect me, which God could. But, I mean, God didn't choose that, did he? He wanted Lot out of there. Once Lot was safely out of range, you might say, what happened? Fire came down and that whole city was turned to ashes, literally. So you apply the same principle. Once the church is in the place of safety, it's like the door closing and then the tribulation starts and America goes down. And of course, common sense tells you you wouldn't want to be in any nation that's being bombarded with nuclear weapons. That's not a safe environment to be in. I mean, you know, it would just be detrimental. You want to be someplace safe where you don't have to worry about that. So the main reason, well, not the main reason, but one of the reasons we're going to be there is for protection, protection from what's going on during the tribulation. You just can't grow spiritually if you're living in constant fear. Just, you got to have peace of mind. The second reason is to be physically fed. Because no matter where you live, at some point you're going to want to eat. And starving people don't do effective prayers or Bible studies. Regular activities become a burden and loss of energy and focus. This is what's guaranteed from God. And back, excuse me, in Revelation 12 and verse 14, looking at a different aspect of what I read earlier, it says, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half from the presence of the serpent. So we see that the church is nourished. It's fed physically. Now, how is this going to happen? Well, let's look at Elijah example in 1 Kings 17. It's just one example that we can think about. In 1 Kings 17, and verse 6, it says, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So here Elijah had a source of water, and the ravens brought food to him. Now, is that how God's going to take care of the people in the place of safety? I don't know. I mean, you can speculate how it's going to happen. Maybe outsiders will provide the food. At some point, we may be able to grow our own. But the thing is, you're going to be protected, and you're going to have food and water. So that'll give you tremendous peace of mind. And look at Psalm 37, something that David wrote about, which can give us some real assurances. In Psalm 37, in verse 25, Psalm 37, 25 says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for food. So we're the righteous, and we're not going to have to beg for food. God's going to provide it. The third reason we're there, and at one time, there was a saying, the place of safety is a place of final training. Well, if you could think of it in those terms, like, we're called to be God beings. And, you know, usually one undertakes training for a trade or a degree, and that's usually about 3 to 4 years of training. Like, I'm a licensed gas fitter by a trade. I had to have 4 years before I got my license from the government where I could work at that. And it's like degrees, you know, you could go to school for 3 years and then you have your BA or 4 years. So you think of it as 3.5 years of a form of training. And here again, how that's going to come about, I don't really know. I mean, we can speculate, but it's kind of a training period where God can get all the wrinkles out of the woman, the church. And what I mean by wrinkles is we have to be all on the same page when by the time Christ returns. We can't have any disagreements in doctrine. And there may be some things that we believe that need a little tweaking or adjusting and realize, wait a minute, we're a little wrong on this. So we can't have, you know, a group of people, no matter what size it is, with 10% believing one thing and another 10% believing another. We all have to be on the same page. And that time frame is an opportunity to get the wrinkles out. And it's going to be quite challenging, but really rewarding. You know, none of us today has ruled over cities or has the ability to create as God can. So perhaps these are areas where we can learn in the place of safety, at least the basic principles of what's expected of us to use the power we're going to have in a godly manner. I mean, you wouldn't put a 10-year-old behind the controls of a 747, obviously. So, I mean, we're going to have all this power when Christ returns. Well, we've got to have some guideline as to, you know, not lose your temper and, you know, use it in the wrong way. So we need training and challenges for ruling under Christ in the millennium. Now, here's a couple of admonitions from Jesus Christ. One is in Matthew 24, verse 13. Scripture we're familiar with. Matthew 24, 13. It says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So that endurance to the end includes the 3.5 years in the place of safety. So you have to endure that period of time and not drop out or fall away during that time we're in the place of safety in order to get your reward. And the other admonition from God is over in, or from Christ is over in Luke 21. And Luke 21 and verse 36, it says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So there's nothing wrong with praying that you may be worthy to escape. I mean, I don't think if you're given a choice, do you want to go to a place of safety where you're fed and taken care of and educated, or stay behind and, you know, watch the bombs drop? I mean, it just doesn't, nobody would want that. Unfortunately, some will have to go through the tribulation, will have to see all the sorrow and the pain and the suffering that the world is going through. But God has decided that he's going to save some. I don't know how many. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we're guaranteed safety, food, and some training. So if we remain faithful to what God has given us to do, regardless of the scope of our responsibilities, we will be safe, taken care of physically, get the proper training, and be ready to meet Christ at his return. Then we really got to get to work, helping to expand the family of God in the millennium.